Well, if you're like me, you're watching the news and maybe hoping that this Iran war comes to a conclusion sooner than later. Probably fair to say in some of the polling research that most Americans do not support the war in Iran right now. Probably for a lot of different reasons. 53% around there oppose the U.S. military action, and some 44% support it. Now, we also know that there is a huge split between those that lean towards one party versus the other. Most Republicans, for example, tend to support the war for reasons of national security, for reasons of not allowing a nuclear warhead in the hands of a tyrant regime nation. Most Democrats, conversely, and independents oppose it. Now, for those that support it, a huge majority want the war to end quickly. As you know, President Trump has indicated 4 to 6 weeks. We're about at the 4-week time frame. He's already made plans to meet with President Xi of China in mid-May. And many are concluding that the Iran war will be concluded by that time. Now, President Trump is challenging what he calls, quote, the strange Iranian negotiators to, quote, get serious about a deal to end the fighting. Now, yesterday, you may have heard comments by the White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, who said that President Trump was serious and prepared to, quote, unleash hell, end quote, if Iran refused to accept a deal. And President Trump posted on Truth Social this morning that Iran is begging to make us a deal, which they should be doing since they have been militarily obliterated with zero chance of a comeback. And yet they publicly state that they are only, quote, looking at our proposal. Well, to shed some light on this right now, our guest Peter Trombor is the chair of political science at Oakland University and an international relations expert. Peter, it's hard to make sense of this on a day-by-day basis. I mean, we're hearing what the administration is saying. We hear what the press secretary is saying. We hear what Secretary Hegseth has stated in terms of we negotiate with bombs. But where do you think we truly stand right now?
Well, hi, Chris. That's a great question. I think we stand where we stood at the beginning. And that is with some brilliant tactical execution by the American military, but no strategic understanding of what those attacks are supposed to produce. I don't think the president really knows what his own off-ramp is at this point. It's one of these things where he sort of keeps declaring victory and then says, well, victory is right around the corner, but we've already obliterated Iran's capabilities, and we're ahead of schedule. I mean, in all honesty, right, there's really been no effort to explain what it is exactly we're doing, why we're doing it, and what the end game is.
Well, you don't think the threat was the fact that Iran had possession of a nuclear weapon and could threaten any country in that region or around the world?
They don't have a nuclear weapon, right? I mean, that's just false, right? They have not achieved that capability yet. They're closer than they were, several years ago. But this idea that Iran was going to have a nuclear weapon tomorrow, it was just a fiction. But we also have to balance that against the president's declaration back in January that we had obliterated Iran's nuclear capabilities. So I don't know how you.
But wasn't
go from,
it Israeli intelligence that basically called President Trump and said the threat is here, it's imminent, we must act now? You're suggesting that wasn't the case, or that was bad intelligence?
I think that you have to understand that the Netanyahu government has been making that claim for the better part of 20 years. They have been begging the United States to take military action against Iran for as long as Bibi Netanyahu has been president. And Netanyahu has routinely argued that an Iranian bomb is right around the corner, and that's just never been the case. What the Secretary of State Marco Rubio said is that the United States joined in because we knew Israel was going to do this decapitation attack and that Iran was going to retaliate against the United States, even if we weren't involved, so we may as well be involved.
So you're saying we interceded on behalf of Israel because we knew what they were going to do.
That's what the Secretary of State said.
Well, let me ask you this. You make a really good point about, you know, kind of leadership and the conduct and actions moving forward, some calling it regime change, and there are different definitions as to U.S. involvement there. There's some questioning why the U.S. 82nd Airborne Division has been deployed. Normally that's at the start of a campaign, not at the end. And apparently they're helping to facilitate certain actions, I guess, in the air, on the ground, through different threats as it pertains to the Strait of Hormuz. And I'm just trying to understand, because they're calling the current Ayatollah, which is the son of the Ayatollah whose life was taken, a cardboard Ayatollah. Like, who is the administration talking to right now? Can they trust those sources? And does this mean that we're going to get regime change that is lasting and is healthy for this country?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we know who the administration is talking to. We know that Pakistan has been serving as a sort of a back channel between the administration and some elements of the Iranian government. But we frankly it's not clear who is really in charge there. There was some reporting over the last few days that suggests that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps has essentially taken over the running of the country, which was not unexpected, frankly. And this is one of those things where we really have not seen regime change. We haven't seen the regime crumble. The Iranian government remains in firm control of the country. They retain the ability to retaliate using missiles and drones, despite the thousands and thousands of airstrikes that they have absorbed. And there's no clear end in sight here, right? I mean, I think that's the real problem. You know, if the United States, I think what happened is that the president was convinced by the speedy success of the earlier Venezuela operation that this would be very similar and it would be essentially simple to do, that all we had to do was wipe out the top leadership and the regime would crumble and everything would be happy and healthy and we'd go about our business. And that is certainly not the case, right? So here we are heading into week four of what the president originally said would be a 3 to 4 week operation, and the timeline just keeps growing and growing.
Well, what do you think unleash hell means if the Iranians don't comply with our negotiated 15-point plan?
Well, what the president has threatened is an attack on civilian infrastructure, essentially destroying the Iranian power grid. And we should be clear that an attack on civilian infrastructure, a deliberate attack on civilian targets like that, is considered a war crime under international humanitarian law. So that's what they're talking about, right? They're talking about essentially targeting Iranian civilians.
Well, we appreciate the civilians. We don't want them to be hurt. We don't want them to be targeted. But, Peter, we're going to have you back. We're going to have to continue to watch how this unfolds, because many want to believe it's going to be ending in the next few weeks. But to your point, without understanding what the goal or the outcome should or can be, it makes it a little murky. At least that's what I hear you saying. Peter Trumbord, who is the chair of political science at Oakland University and international relations. Peter, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you.
Sure thing, Chris. Thank you.
You're listening to Focus on WJR 760.